fucking late with this. We're like, what, 15, 20, 25 games into the season? Doesn't fucking matter, because we're here for the third year in a row. It's the trifecta. It's the three-peat. Sterls is on the other side. I am here. This is the NBA Clinic. Let's get it.
Yeah, we back. It's been a while. It's going to be a very exciting season, as we were saying when you last heard us. And I gotta say, I like what I'm seeing so far.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm not shocked that you're saying that, Sterling, considering where the Lakers are right now. With the league record, they've only lost two games. This team is rolling on all cylinders. They're sitting right now at the number one seed in the Western Conference. I mean, it's been a pleasure to watch. We know what the offseason was like for the Lakers. Outside of getting AD, which was honestly the most televised secret in the league, everything else was a bit of a clusterfuck from a media sense for the Lakers. Considering what was happening with the coaching, we were trying to get Ty Lue, then we did get Ty Lue, then we got Frank Vogel, but we also got Jason Kidd, just in case. So you got the backup coach who's trying to be the coach, but is not really the coach, and then you got the actual coach trying to coach. This guy's replacement looking over his shoulder. On the face value, we all thought it was going to be weird, but I'm not going to lie. The product on the floor right now is beautiful. Whether it ranges from just seeing like prime LeBron, like just vintage, just all-time great, like the LeBron we know, like the LeBron from like the early Cavs, Miami Heat days, like LeBron's playing amazingly. And then even when it comes to like the depth of this roster, you can go all the way down to the 8th, 9th, even 10th man, and you're going to get enjoyable production, a really well sought after basketball player with great credibility and great fundamentals. And most importantly, a willingness to sacrifice for their role on the sake of a bigger team. Those types of players that I'm obviously talking about would be Avery Bradley, Alex Caruso, Quinn Cook. Like those are like the 8th, 9th, 10th man spots in all great teams that typically win championships are that deep. So it's great to see that from the Lakers. And I mean, the thing that shocked me and it's probably shocked everybody right now is Dwight Howard. Wow.
Yeah, the man, I think he's repurposed himself. I think he realized he's not the Dwight Howard that he used to be. He's not Superman flying high and like having the crazy games that we once knew this man to be when he was like the defensive player of the year, just having a crazy amount of blocks and grabbing all these rebounds. But he's a version of that. He's a version of that, but just a lot lesser. But it still, because he's so like athletic and so driven, like when he's like focused, that is still very valuable to the team. And having him be able to come off the bench, being able to block people, grab boards, be able to switch on the guards and like at least force them into tough shots, it's just very invaluable to the team, like especially a championship team, having a guy like that who you know is going to come off the bench and give you protection, especially at the rim.
Yeah, that's the most underrated part, honestly, about what's changed from this year versus last year. Like, that is the number one thing that stands out to me is just the level of rim protection that the Lakers have right now. It is awesome. Like, JaVale McGee, when we saw him on the Warriors, was at his best when he was playing 20 to 25 minutes and was, like, switching off with, like, you know, Kevon Looney or Draymond Green at that five role. And JaVale McGee is once again back in that position by being able to stagger his minutes with Dwight Howard, and it's yielding to just great overall rim protection, regardless of which unit is out there on the floor. And the best thing about this team is, like I mentioned from before, everybody is willing to play their role, but they're also very cognizant of how the whole team is supposed to flow. Like, everybody's very, very good in pick and roll situations. Everybody's very, very good at kicking out to the baseline when an option is not there. People are very good at rotating the ball, making sure that you can get like an open three when available. They're very trained in making sure that they get down the floor for transition. Everybody just knows what spot they're supposed to be at for the offense to click. And they're doing a great job in terms of defensive rotations, making sure that they can force to their help defender, which, like we mentioned from before, is going to be great because you have amazing bigs on the other side to be that anchor that you need for help defense. They're pushing people baseline. They're trying to get people into strategic doubles. They're rebounding extremely well. I mean, they're making sure that they're doing everything that they're supposed to, and they're definitely building championship habits right now in the regular season. I love everything that I've seen. I've enjoyed every game that I've watched from the Lakers thus far, and I'm excited to see if they can continue this. But it is a long season, and attrition definitely will play a role, especially with a older group of guys. And we'll be able to see later on down the road if they're going to try to do something similar to load management, where they try to make sure that they're resting guys as much as they can, but also see if they can just keep up this level of performance going into March and April, because it is, like I mentioned from before, a very long season, and there's a lot of really good teams in the Western Conference. So it'll be exciting to see how this shakes out.
Yeah, but one thing I gotta just point out, because I've gotten on my man, even though the guy I think is the greatest of all time. I've been saying for a little while that he was letting me down on the defensive end, but I'm so happy he decided to show up this year and play some defense, and I gotta give it up to my man LeBron James. I'm so happy to see this man play defense, so people can stop saying that like he.
It was really bad last year.
I couldn't defend it. I was like, ah man, like kind of you gotta play defense. Like I can't.
He straight up did not defend the baseline.
You can't put this on other people if you gotta play a defense.
Right. I think LeBron was just being a GM last year. Like, I think that's really what happened. Like, I don't think LeBron, I think LeBron was doing all of that in moment to save face, but like really, like he was just not giving a fuck last year and was just trying to get AD on the team. Like, that was his only goal last year. Like, I think from the gate, he was like, I don't give a shit about how many games we win. This season doesn't matter to me.
I feel that. I mean, he did it. He did it, and I gotta say, this is what I've been trying to, like, convey to everybody when they bring up certain matchups. I was like, who's gonna guard AD? Like,
nobody.
There's nobody in the league that can guard AD.
I think Embiid can.
You got LeBron. He's gonna have to step away from the basket, though. And then you got a rim
Giannis
away from the basket.
I think Giannis could, and then Kawhi could, but that's it. Those are like the top two defenders in the league. Like, damn.
Still don't think Giannis can, because Giannis usually is like always defending somebody. If they're bigger than him, they're usually slower than him, and if they're smaller than him, he's usually always bigger than them, and that's his advantage. And I think Anthony Davis, he's that skilled at offense that I think he'd be able to. He might not work him, but he would still get his. And then you still got to guard LeBron, too, though. Like, somebody still got to be on LeBron that right. can handle LeBron. And I don't think Kawhi, I think he's too skilled on offense for Kawhi to actually lock him down. Like, he might be able to guard him some plays, but he's going to be able to get off shots that Kawhi can't defend. And I think he's skilled enough, he's going to hit them.
Yeah, AD is the one player, if he gets hot, there's no stopping that. It's like KD on the Warriors. Like, you could play everybody else on the Warriors, but if KD gets hot, they're winning the game. Like, and I feel like AD is really the key to the Lakers winning a championship this year if they want to get there. Like, their championship goals run through AD in a lot of ways. And I'm excited because I know we've seen great games already from AD, but I feel like we've scratched the surface on what he's going to be capable of with this Lakers roster.
Yeah, in my opinion, they got a lot of people who can go off. And it might not just be go off as far as getting buckets, but they just start doing their thing.
Like, yeah.
For example, Kuzma, of course, he just might hit a streak where he's just in a scoring mode. Like, he's pulling, he's driving, and he's just hitting everything. And then you still got Rondo, where he might just start getting to his assist bag, like, just dishing out assists, like, just controlling the game. And you got him on the bench, and he can come in and do that. And then
you got Dwight. Dwight right now is getting you a cool 15 and 10, but he could easily get a 20 and 10. He could fuck around. If he's open, he could fuck around with a 20 and 10.
He just start grabbing all these old boards, putbacks, just doing his thing. And I mean, JaVale, low-key, he's sneaky. He be sneakily doing that.
Right.
Danny Green just start going off from the three-point line. Like, I just like the roster that they built and how it combines. Like, they got so many pieces that they can use. Like, Avery Bradley can even, like, get hot. Even KCP, like, he finally started hitting, like, because he was having a rough beginning of the season. So, I was glad to see he, like, start getting going. Because if this whole team is clicking on all cylinders as far as the starters and the bench, they're going to be very tough to beat. Like, they off to a great start, but, like, looking at the schedule and stuff, it hasn't been the craziest, hardest. Like, they've had a few there-and-then teams. But if this team actually gets clicking on all cylinders, I don't know who's going to be able to beat them.
Yeah, I mean, matchup-wise, it's going to be a problem for the rest of the league. As we've seen the season progress, I can't really see a team that matches up well with the Lakers in the Western Conference, like, at all. That's going to be interesting to watch. You know me, Sterls, I'm a money man, so I had to pull up the payroll real quick. And not only is the roster looking good right now, in terms of cap flexibility, this team is looking great. I remember 2 years ago, when we used to do individual episodes on teams, and I was talking about how fucked the Lakers were, like, for the next 2 or 3 years. Now we're at that 2 or 3 year spot, and it's a completely different story. Rob Pelinka has done an extraordinary job with this roster, given what was available and all the chaos that was happening around. So right now, they're actually surprisingly under cap with their current roster. That is insane, considering the value that they're getting out of players such as Dwight Howard, who's only getting paid $2.5 million for just this year. He's not even going to have another contract after that. Rajon Rondo getting paid $2.5 million. Fucking JaVale McGee is getting paid $4 million, bro. Avery Bradley's $4.5 million. Quinn Cook is $3 million. Like, these are starting players on trash teams. Like,
he did his thing in the offseason, like, for a scramble after they didn't get Kawhi to pull that off, like, I gotta tip my hat to him. Like,
definitely.
And there's still the possibility of getting Andre Iguodala.
The only reason why Pelinka stopped being Iguodala's agent was because he took the Lakers GM role. But prior to that, he was the agent for these three players: James Harden, Kobe Bryant, Iguodala. Yeah. So, like, he's probably gonna get Iggy. Like, Iggy's probably gonna be on this team, in which case I don't even know if it's worth talking about what the rest of the Western Conference can do at that point, because Iggy is what they're missing. Like, when KCP is clicking on all cylinders, like, that's what Iggy is every minute he's on the court. You know what I mean? Like, KCP at his best is Iggy. And they're going to probably get Iggy. That's really, like, their only flaw to this team right now, is, like, that amazing 3-and-D high IQ wing. And, like, KCP honestly can be that in certain moments, but there are a lot of moments he fucks off. But if you get Iggy, then this team is flawless.
Yeah. And that'd be especially nice to go up against the Clippers with Iggy.
They need Iggy,
because you, like, got, they need somebody to play defender. Defense on Kawhi. Like, it was like, he might, like, you know, he's gonna give Kawhi a tough time, and you even though, like, he can't do it like he used to be, but, like, he's gonna be able to give at least put like 25 minutes on Kawhi.
Yeah,
when you need him to.
I don't even care if it's a Western Conference Finals, to be honest. It could be first round, second round. I don't give a shit at this point. I need to see those two teams play each other in the playoffs. I have to have that happen. Like,
I need to see the Rockets and the Clippers first, because that's guards on guards.
Wow, yeah. I didn't even think about that matchup. That is insane. And
that's an offense on defense matchup, too. Like, right. You got James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Just going to be going at Kawhi and Paul George.
But we also got to talk about playoff James Harden, which is a real thing. I hate to say it because it's so shitty, because, like, the world holds it against him. Like, I mean, it is the most important, like, 1%, but, like, 99% of this man's career, James Harden is like Michael Jordan. Well, not, he don't play like Michael Jordan is, but the numbers he puts up are like all-time offensive great numbers. But then there's just that those final moments of, like, playoff series where he just can't get to his usual spots, and it's very noticeable. And then at that point, the offense collapses, because, like, unfortunately, like, the Rockets still depend a lot on James Harden. Like, Russell Westbrook does a great job staggering the offense such that he's pushing the ball up the floor and making sure that people can get open, which really helps the second unit and stuff like that. But, like, when it comes to the main scoring load, unless, like, Capella is killing it on pick and rolls, it's really going to be James Harden carrying most of the buckets off of isolations. And so isolations are really tough to get off in the playoffs, and they're really, really easy to game plan for in a series. So if you can't rely on that, then it's going to really have to come down to Russ and the rest of the team being able, and Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon is crucial. Eric Gordon is crucial to the success of this team this season, for sure. Because he is that third guard that you can actually be able to space the floor when the defense tries to collapse on James Harden that can actually hit that three-pointer at stride consistently and get hot. Like, Eric Gordon could get very hot. And nobody else on this team. Austin Rivers can, too. So I'll give him credit on that. But, like, nobody else can really, really get hot in this team outside of James and Eric Gordon. So I think it's going to be interesting to see. Right now they're putting up great regular season numbers. And they're winning games. But, I mean, we've heard this story so many times from the Rockets. I'm not even paying attention to them, really, until it comes to playoff time.
Yeah, and shout out to the Indiana boy, Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon's from Indiana?
Yes, Indianapolis. Naptown product.
Man, shouts out Eric Gordon, bro. He a hooper. That makes a lot of sense, bro. A lot of good players come out of Indy.
But yeah, like you were saying, it is kind of tough. It's going to be tough for the Rockets because how much they rely on James Harden.
Yeah, for sure. That makes complete sense to me. And I mean, we've seen it season after season in recent memory. Honestly, if I was sitting either in like a coaching or a GM perspective, or if I was just like in the front office, my strategy, at least for the regular season, would be just like let Russ cook and load manage James Harden, because we've seen Russell Westbrook be good enough to at least guarantee that the Rockets get into the playoffs, and that's all you really need in the regular season right now. Russ is proven to get any team, regardless of who the fuck is on it, to the playoffs. And I know you can't rely on Russ for like the final moments of closing out a playoffs like series. Like, I know I'm sorry, there's only a few players in the league that are like that, and Russell Westbrook, from what I've seen thus far, is not that. Even though he's a dog, I'm not saying he don't want it. He wants it just as bad as Michael Jordan. Like, that man is an animal. I love the way he plays, but the results are the results from what we've seen. I feel like James Harden has to be the guy, like, in those final moments. And so he's, like you were saying, Sterling, like, because he's not able to get that lift on his shot because he's had to hit that shot so many times during the regular season and he's just tired, just eliminate that excuse. You know what I mean? Like, load manage James Harden. You got a good enough team that all you really have to do is get to the playoffs. Like, I don't even think home court advantage matters for this team. Even though the Rockets, the home crowd is amazing. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm just saying in terms of priorities, what matters more is making sure that James Harden does not reveal too much of his offensive repertoire in regular season film sessions and that his body is healthy. So, like, the best way of accomplishing that is load managing him. And then also, you have to get Russ ingratiated with every single player on this team. Like, because to unlock all of Russ's potential, he needs to be able to control the offense in a lot of ways, push the ball down the floor, be able to get amazingly aggressive, quick layups, really, really sharp kickouts for open shots, attack through the pick and roll, and then like also be involved on rebounding offensively and defensively. He's done that so many times in such a high capacity on the Oklahoma City Thunder when he was on that team. It's only natural for him to do that, you know, with the Rockets. And we are currently seeing that. It's not for me to say that he's not doing that right now, but I think the Rockets should lean onto that a lot more in the regular season, because that's not going to be taken away from Russell Westbrook in the playoffs. Like, he'll continue to do that. We've seen evidence of him always being able to be in attack mode. But what you need to have happen is James Harden and Russell Westbrook click. And for that to happen, I think, you know, load managing James Harden might be the best approach, and just let Russell Westbrook get them triple doubles.
So you all for load management?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, for sure. I think Derrick Rose, like today or yesterday, had this one quote that perfectly sums up, you know, the reason why I think load management's a good idea. And this was his quote, more or less. It was, if load management was a thing when I came into the league, I'd still probably be on the Chicago Bulls right now. And like, that shit just hit me. Like, that, I don't know. If that doesn't resonate with you on why load management is a good idea, I don't think anything else will. Like, look at Kawhi, for example. People say like Kawhi's sitting out a lot of games and stuff like that, but like, if you have like something like severe tendonitis or something like that, your career will literally get shortened, or you will probably injure yourself, like similar to what happened to KD in the playoffs, if you continuously play on that. It's better to load manage somebody and make sure that they're right to peak and April and May, in my belief, than it is for them to play 81 games. And like people want to say, oh, that devalues the product that you put out on the floor for these NBA games in the regular season. I say, no, not at all, because basketball is a team sport. And if you actually like want to go to a game and really get good quality basketball, like you're going to see a deep team play. You're going to see every player come out and give you something that you want to see, that you're going to enjoy. And all the best teams do that. And right now in the league, there's a lot of really good teams and there's a lot of really good players. Like talent wise, this is the best the NBA has been.
Yeah, I think it's a smart idea, but I would just wish that instead the NBA would just shorten the season.
I think they're going to get there. The next CBA is coming up and they're talking about it. A lot of people are considering that. I think it's going to try to go down to 60 something games, and that's the right amount. Like these are just rumors that I've been hearing and stuff like that, but I definitely agree with you. The best solution for sure is to lessen the games. That way the fans aren't getting screwed when they buy a ticket and they find out somebody's resting. TV deals aren't getting screwed, like all that.
See, yeah, that's really my thing.
Man, I feel like let's just keep it in the Western Conference and then we'll just talk just Eastern Conference next time. Because this is already, because there's too much good to talk about. Like, there's so much to catch up on.
Yeah.
Where are we at in time? I feel like let's talk about maybe like two more teams and then we can get hop up out of here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, so we've talked about this team enough. We've mentioned them in matchups with the Rockets and the Lakers. Let's just knock them out, man, the Clippers. This team, it was weird. It was weird going into this season because like they had kind of stole the offseason from the Lakers in a lot of ways. And PG's coming back. He's getting readjusted. And then, yeah, I mean, Kawhi isn't going through this whole tendonitis, knee, load management scenario. It's been very interesting to see him play. I actually went to the Clippers-Blazers game in Los Angeles when I was in town a couple of weekends ago. And just being able to see the team in person, you can definitely see they're playing great, but they're definitely still playing under what they're capable of.
Well, I think the thing is just with that load management thing, it's still a team getting used to playing with Kawhi. Like, and it's because sometimes Kawhi is just going to dominate the ball.
Yeah.
And, like, they still hadn't got used to that. And then when he's playing, when he's not playing, that was always the thing that I, like, was wondering. Is like, how are they going to get offense? Like, you have to insert Lou Williams into the game, but then that leaves him vulnerable on defense. That team is very beatable, in my opinion. But now they will have Paul George. So I am interested to see, like, on the nice one, it's just Paul George, because the first one, unfortunately, they lost, and he went off, too, and they still took an L. So I want to see what happens if the team starts to gel more and more, and, like, they figure out the rotations and things like that. I also, one thing that I've always thought is a versatile, skilled big man can give this team problems. Like, just an AD type, like, because I don't think Montrezl Harrell or Zubac is going to be able to guard. Like, they are both very competent defenders, but I wouldn't say they're excellent. Like, they can't stop someone who's very skilled as a, like, AD. Like, even, yeah, Lauri Markkanen, like, that type of big man that can, like, step out, shoot, still drive past you, do, like, not actually always have to shoot set shots and, like, can actually create.
Yeah, man. I couldn't have said that better myself. The team is still really, really good. Doc Rivers has still been doing a great job coaching. But the Western Conference is definitely a very deep conference. And because of that, you're going to see a lot of even play, which is going to lead to wins and losses in the regular season. That's one of the main things I love about this season. It's not cut and dry. We don't know who's going to be running away with the first seed, the second seed, et cetera, like it was the past years. And it's so satisfying because we're getting these teams that are popping off that we didn't think would make the playoffs. And then we're getting teams that we definitely thought were going to make the playoffs that aren't, like the Blazers and the Warriors right now. Like, I don't think anybody saw that coming. Especially the Warriors. Everybody was like, nah, they're still going to get the 6th, 7th, 8th seed. But they're going to be a lottery team this year. I think they're just mailing it in. They're probably just exhausted from that three-peat and all the attention. And how much everybody fucking hated them for the past couple of years. Like, I don't think we've seen that much, like, vitriol, like, sent at a whole team and a whole culture ever. Like, really, I've never, like, maybe Miami Heat, like, the first year LeBron was there, but I've never seen a whole team for like multiple years get the amount of just hate that that the Warriors got. They're probably just mentally exhausted, physically exhausted. They got a bunch of young kids that, like, are honestly fucking around at the whole time. Like, Steve Kerr is like an old grandpa. He's just like, these fucking kids. They've got Sean Livingston or Iguodala, those, like, needed veteran players that can be a great voice in the locker room to, like, calm things down and stabilize the team. You're now having to rely on Draymond Green to be that voice, and, like, he's the exact opposite of that. It's just weird. Like, nobody would have ever been able to predict that. But then you got other teams like the fucking Mavericks, you know, coming through and just putting in work. Luka Doncic, Jesus. This guy is in competition with Harden for being, like, the best guard in the league right now.
Yeah, Luka is amazing. He actually just became the third player with a consecutive 35-point triple-double since the merger.
Wow.
And as you was talking about with the Warriors, the Mavs just beat the Warriors by 48 points. And it just all goes to say what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. If I was an NBA player right now and the Warriors are where they're at right now, I'm getting up to beat the shit out of this team after all the trauma they've put me through for the past 3 years.
All that Curry shimmying and all that. It's like, all them threes, all the laughing and dancing that they had to watch. I know it built up. I know as an athlete that had to hurt.
Facts.
You like, dang, they just busting us and we can't do nothing about it. Like, and we just gotta look at them. They just gotta look at their joy. They're just having so much fun. I can't wait until we get a good team and finally it flipped. And they are at the bottom of the league and everybody's like, bet, like, I'm about to go off.
Yeah, it's revenge on sight. So, we've talked Mavs, we've talked Rockets, we've talked Lakers, we've talked Clippers, we've talked Warriors. Actually, I will say this about the Warriors real quick before we actually, move on and talk about some other teams in the Western Conference. They got nice young talent on that team. They just hella young, and this year they're fucking around, which is probably not good in terms of culture, but they have really good young players on that team, like Eric Pascal? He's pretty good for a forward. He's honestly like a young Draymond, but with a better offensive game.
I don't think he's ever going to be able to have the defense, though.
That's the trade-off. It's like he can get to similar places. And maybe he might get there in his career. Like, I don't know, because he came in late to the league. Like, I think he was like a junior or senior when he got drafted this year. But yeah, definitely offensively he's better than Draymond, but he's able to do similar things to Draymond, so that's kind of cool to see.
Well, I mean, everybody is hurt, so, I mean, that is one thing. But, I mean, that's the NBA. It's the nature of the NBA.
Definitely. It's going to be very exciting to see this team play again next season, but as of right now, it is what it is. There's one final team that I want to talk about in the Western Conference, and then after that, we can talk about whatever team you want to in regards to the Western Conference. And the team that I want to finally talk about is the Phoenix Suns. Wow. This team has moved beyond anybody's expectations of what we thought they were going to be at this season. I don't know whether it's just Monty Williams as a coach. I don't know if it's James Jones moving the chains that he's been moving in the front office now that he has, like, full control. I don't know if it's just been the sneaky pickups of Aaron Baines and Ricky Rubio, but the offense flows really well. Everybody knows their role, and they try on defense. I never thought I'd say this about the Phoenix Suns. They're fun to watch, and they're good.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I was very surprised by this team. I literally, a week before the season started, I was kind of complaining about, like, how good is Devin Booker really? Because I see him put up crazy amounts of points. But, like, how good of a basketball player is if he's scoring all these points but the team is not leading the wins? And he came this year and I'm seeing it turn over into not just points, but he's just making plays. And he's having 10 assist games and stuff like that. And the team is well put together. And he fits well with Ricky Rubio. And it's just nice to see. They got a nice young core, especially Kelly Oubre. And whenever DeAndre Ayton comes back from his suspension, that'll be a nice piece to add to this team. And I just like the way that they're clicking. And I'm just glad to see Devin Booker excelling. Like, cause he's been doing his thing for all these years, but it hasn't been leading the wins. And now to see it be leading to success, it's just gonna like further make his career better because everybody gonna be seeing it now, not just like basketball fans really knowing about it.
For sure, their play as a team has definitely put them on the map and has gotten them like a lot of attention and eyeballs that they definitely deserve. Like the whole city of Phoenix really deserves this Suns team. I really hope they make the playoffs. That'd be dope, even if they get the 8th seed or something. Like, the Suns have been through so much. How many podcasts have we shat on this Suns team, Sterling? I can't even imagine or count. It was a lot. I'm just glad that the Suns are kind of good again. You know what I mean? Valley Boys is back, and they're doing their thing, man. That's pretty much all the Western Conference teams off the top of my head that I want to talk about for right now. Sterling, you got any other teams you want to talk about?
No, I think that's good for me as well.
Perfect, man. We're going to wrap it up here. First episode of this season of the NBA Clinic is in the wraps. The next episode, we're going to be just talking Eastern Conference. So look forward to that. We'll make sure that we do as much of a deep dive of the first 20-25 games as we can. And then after that, you know, we'll be back on our shit every week or every other week. We will be giving y'all content. So look forward to that. I love basketball. I love that the NBA is back, bro.
Same here, bro. It's an exciting season. I'm just sitting back and waiting for the ride that's going to take us on.
And with that being said, we're going to wrap it up here. I'm glad y'all was able to stay tuned with us, and we're going to see y'all in the next one. Peace.
Peace out.